Hey, what's up? This is Ranting with Randy. I'm Randy, and this is a podcast about anything and everything that can drive a sane person stark, raving, mad. It could be about sports, it could be about the crackheads, the bus, the train, the weather. We're going to get back into, and I can't believe it, because we can't seem to get the fuck away from it, but we're going to get back into this whole sexual assault, sexual predator behavior, because we talked about it again at the 6 a.m. dog walk, and I have a recording of everything. Unfortunately, I can't play it because people that were being recorded were not aware that they were being recorded and honestly said things about people that they know that could potentially put them in some kind of situation. I would never do that to somebody. So the conversation kind of just happened and transpired, and I had the recording going from Lincoln and I, who were the first ones out there at the dog walk at 6 a.m., and then other people kind of came up and joined in the conversation, which oftentimes happens, and I didn't stop to say, hey, would it be okay if I use this for my podcast? Because I knew the answer would probably be no, just because of this person's career and who this person is and what they know and what they said, and I would never want to put anybody in a bind like that and potentially drag them into something that could have legal ramifications or career ramifications. I don't know. So anyway, I'll basically explain to you the best way that I can what transpired in our 6 a.m. dog walking conversation that was all over the fucking place, but started again talking about all of the sexual assault stuff. And we started out talking about Roy Moore because Lincoln immediately goes directly towards politics and Alabama and the racism. And we got back into that. And I started to record what we were talking about because it would have been, I don't know where we were at, a part four, a part five of our ongoing series on sexual assault that we started with Al Franken and moved on. And now it's gotten so insane with the floodgates and the deluge of all of these allegations and reports and firings and what's going on, that the fucked up thing is that, and what we talked about is, I brought up nobody in the media yesterday was talking about the Croatian guy that actually drank a bottle of poison at The Hague. The dude actually committed suicide, drank poison, snuck poison in somehow with his shaky hand, drank it while they were reading out his sentence, and was rushed to the hospital where he died 2 hours later. That didn't even make a blip on the fucking news yesterday between, you know, Trump's insane retweeting of this Britain First insane, hateful, anti-Islamic lunatic that was arrested in Britain, and now she's like begging for him to help. It's such a fucking clusterfuck right now. So we started out talking about Roy Moore and we're gobsmacked. It's fucking nuts that this guy could potentially end up in the U.S. Senate, but then it's not so nuts because look at the fucking president. So you're sitting there in your best rational mind at 6 a.m. on one cup of coffee trying to figure this fucking shit out. And Lincoln continues to raise all of these extremely valid points about how pathetic it is and why wouldn't Roy Moore get elected? Donald Trump is sitting in the White House, completely void of any responsibility or acknowledging the 16 or so women that have accused him of sexual impropriety. So if all of these people in media and news and entertainment are going to face the ramifications of their behavior, and Anna Navarro yesterday tweeted out a list of everybody who's gotten fired, Harvey Weinstein, Louis C.K., Matt Lauer, all of these other people who have lost their jobs because of their behavior, as they should. There are, and clearly in politics, it's okay if you're a sexual predator. There are no ramifications for your behavior yet. Maybe John Conyers will step down from his high ranking position. Al Franken doesn't seem to be going anywhere. And so it's nuts. So we started to talk about Roy Moore, and then when people joined the conversation then was like, hey, did you hear about Matt Lauer and his secret button that he had under his desk to lock the door of his office? What in the ever-loving creeper shit is that? You have like a James Bond button under your fucking desk to lock women in your office? Are you kidding me? That you can't. And people were like, somebody said that one of the people walking in the group was like, well, you know, he's very famous and he's a celebrity and it may be a safety issue. And I would get the fuck out of here with that. It's a safety issue. It's a goddamn safety issue for the girl that he's locking in his office that has nowhere to go. It's not a safety issue for Matt Lauer. Who's getting into Matt Lauer's office in the bowels of the upper floors of the NBC Rockefeller offices? And they've already in the article acknowledged that his office was very far out of the way. Was it also soundproofed so you couldn't hear the women screaming? Like a fucking torture chamber. He had buttons and he could, if you pull on the lever on his wall, the wall would flip open and you'd have like iron rings that people would hang from. It's like an S&M chamber. The fuck is that? The guy has a button that locks the door on his desk. Fucking get up and lock the door. Because you know what? If you were such a creeper and all of a sudden a girl, I guarantee you somebody would have made a fucking run for that damn door to get the fuck out of there. So we talked about that, and then we were like, okay, so Matt Lauer now is done and finished. And we also talked about the fact that the behavior was going on for decades and decades, and how it was tolerated in the industry. Sad, acknowledged to be sad, but true. No one had anywhere to go for any help. No one would have said anything to ask for help. Why? Because you want to keep your job. You don't want to fuck up that opportunity of having your foot in the door of working at a place like NBC, being around all of those people. Your dream job is to go God knows where, producing, directing. Maybe you want to write. Maybe you want to become an on-air talent. You're going to risk all of those things to go tell somebody that you were assaulted by the biggest personality and the biggest moneymaker for the company, and you expect them to believe you and help you? That was not going to happen. Right up until recently, and they're still not getting any help. What's the help? They're not suing for damages. There's no retroactive payment if they left their job or if they were frozen out of the industry or whatever happened to their career. If they left, after they left, if they stayed, how the behavior within the organization towards them changed, what got awkward, what didn't get awkward, it's so fucked up. So we were talking about that, and we talked about, so the creepy button under Matt Lauer's desk, we're like, who else has a button? And somehow somebody made like a joke about, does Donald Trump know about the button? It's gross. We're at a point right now inside, it's so fucked up and gross. Okay, so we kept walking, so as we just walk around in circles, and we continued the conversation, and we talked about, you know, we brought up such random things because then it led to like Al Sharpton, and the only thing you can think of when you hear about Al Sharpton was his whole sharding incident. And then that pretty much grossed everybody out because who wants to talk about sharding at 6 o'clock in the morning? I still remember having to Google what sharding was. I didn't even know what the fuck it was to shard. But it's, you can Google it. That was the thing where he went to the White House and supposedly he sharded himself and left and walked around the rest of the night at the White House event commando or some shit like that. It was literally shit like that. It was gross. So we went from Roy Moore, who's gross and who's now blaming in his latest video from a tiny little town in Theodore, Alabama. He spoke about in a church. He blamed the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgendered for wanting to change his culture. It's the liberals' fault and the entire gay community. For wanting, they don't want God. No one wants God in government. I don't know. I'm not a constitutional expert, but there is some separation of church and state on some level, and basically, if we're gonna, you know, not pull any punches, it's really, are you pro-abortion or anti-abortion? That's what it's gonna come down to in Alabama. It's not gonna come down to, do you wanna send a creepy fucking child molesting sex pervert to the Senate who doesn't give a fuck about anybody's rights but the white supremacist, Bible-thumping hate mongers, or are you concerned about the abortion issues that are going to come up and you want to vote pro-life? It's just fucked up. It's mind-boggling. Child molestation, the accusations of that alone. Because he didn't come out and say no. He ran away and hid for 12 days until he showed up at this church. And then blamed everybody else but himself. It's disgusting. So then there's that. So then we're talking about that and how misguided it is and how sad it is and how pathetic that this is all we're talking about. Sexual assault, sexual perversion, child molestation, and the guy that's going to get elected to the fucking Senate if Alabama doesn't get their head out of their ass and vote for morality. Jesus fucking Christ. How can you put your head on the pillow at night and go to sleep knowing that you voted for a pedophile? It's not so. Okay, so then we were talking about that, and that led to, you know, because it went back to Trump, and it went back to the fact that if this is the guy that got away with it and got fucking elected president, thanks to Russia, and he's sitting there, sexual pussy grabbing assaulter himself, why wouldn't Roy Moore get elected? And then it was more like, look at all the shit he's done. And then we started listing all the shit he did, and we went back to the whole Navajo code talker thing under the portrait of Andrew Jackson and how fucked up that was and how he's not even smart. He just, and the whole Pocahontas comment about Senator Warren that he made in a joking way to these Native American heroes who gave their lives and risked their lives to basically save the United States. I mean, if it weren't for them, if it weren't for the Navajo code talkers who had their own language, God, who knows what would have happened? And I'm not a historian. I'm not a World War historian. I'm not, all I know is that, I mean, you know, basic common human fucking decency. And this guy turned to them and the only connection that this fucking moron could make to these Native American heroes was Pocahontas. And he thinks he's in front of, like, his fucking cabinet who will laugh at anything he says because for some reason they're fucking petrified of this guy. And they laugh and he was like, yeah, but we have Pocahontas. You know about Pocahontas. Wink, wink, nod, nod. And these guys were like, what the fuck are you talking about, dude? I mean, talk about, like, it's beyond stupid. And then, so there was that. I mean, this seems like it just doesn't stop. And then there was that, and then there were the retweets from him of the anti-Islam videos from Britain First. And this is the guy that has the fucking nuclear codes, and this is what we were talking about. So this is the guy who retweets all of this anti-Muslim propaganda, with one of the videos being proven to be fake, the other two unsubstantiated, uncorroborated, with no information, that were literally, according to Rachel Maddow, ripped directly from Al-Qaeda and just subtitled in English. So you literally have the president, she said, you literally have the president of the United States retweeting Al-Qaeda propaganda. So Al-Qaeda wins. Their shit was all over the internet. 44 million people, whether they're bots, not bots, fake Twitter accounts, not fake Twitter accounts. This one woman was like, hey, Trump has 44 million followers and he just retweeted my shit. Spread the hate. She's arrested in Britain. She's locked up for being a hate monger. Not to mention the MP that was stabbed to death in front of her house was killed by a dude that screamed Britain First. And Donald Trump's too stupid to even know that. He could care less probably. But he's too dumb to know that, so that we talked about that. So then we talked about, okay, so this is the guy that tweets all this shit, who also has the nuclear codes and is now fighting again with North Korea, continuing to call this nut job over there Little Rocket Man. And one day Little Rocket Man is going to be like, go fuck yourself, and he's going to hit the button. And we were like, okay, so then what? And I totally turned around and looked at somebody and I said, you know what's funny? I remember I used to walk to my grandma's. I spent a lot of time at my grandparents' apartment in Queens. And I always used to go in through the basement just because it was closer than walking all the way down around the block and up the stairs and through the front entrance and then to the elevator where all the other people went in. So I used to walk down. Plus, it had a ramp. So when I walked with my grandparents, we usually took the ramp because my grandparents couldn't take the steps. Long story short, there was always one of those old school signs above the door that said, it was black and yellow. I can still picture it perfectly. And it said fallout shelter. So as we're walking, talking about all this insanity, I looked at somebody and said, well, I haven't seen one of those signs on any building in New York City in forever. So I said, where's the fallout shelter? Where do we go? Now, because this is how we think now. Where do we go if this motherfucker starts a nuclear war? And one of the guys was like, you don't go anywhere. Because I said, I might as well unpack my go bag. Because my go bag ain't going to do fuck all in a nuclear war. I mean, what am I going to do with my migraine medicine? It's not going to help. Dog food? I'm taking dog food for my dog? In my go bag? For what? We're going to be incinerated. So I said, I was like, where's the closest fallout shelter? And no one knew. Where's the closest, and I hate to use the word bomb shelter, but it said fallout shelter on the side. And in that basement, I guess, structurally, the building was secure enough at that time, decades ago, to be a fallout shelter. Now, trust me, there were no amenities. There was no couch or fridge or TV. It was literally a basement. No chairs, nowhere to sit, nothing. So, and one of the guys was like, I'm going to swim to Jersey. If a nuclear bomb goes off, you're swimming to Jersey? For what? What does Jersey got? No disrespect to Jersey, but I don't know how far you're going to make it across the Hudson. You know, swimming through all the bodies and... I don't know. So we couldn't figure out where to go. And we were just, you know, Anita Hill came up and Clarence Thomas came up and Joe Biden and his horrible stance on the whole Anita Hill thing and women of color came up in all of these sexual assaults and allegations. And when that came up, Russell Simmons came up again because of that whole Russell Simmons, Brett Ratner situation. So it's like, it's less than 6 degrees of sexual assault separation. It's crazy. So the whole Russell Simmons, Brett Ratner thing, and they were seen as like this father-son duo in the hip-hop game. And we talked about that because this person looked at me and she said, I wonder when the music industry is going to get hit. Because it's been TV, it's been news, it's been media, it's been politics, but it hasn't really been the music industry. All of a sudden, boom, this Brett Ratner thing comes out a couple of weeks ago with him and Russell Simmons and this model chick that was put in a situation where she looked to Brett Ratner for help. And Brett, while she was being assaulted by Russell Simmons and Brett Ratner didn't end up helping, he ended up, according to her allegations, watching. And it got really messy. And then Russell Simmons put out a statement a week ago or 2 weeks ago about being a yogi and talking about, you know, how he's not who he was then. And this may have happened then. And that was the person he was then with all that bullshit. And this is who he is now. And now another story just dropped in the Hollywood Reporter from Jenny Lumet, who is a screenwriter who has a family lineage. She's the granddaughter of like Lena Horne. And there's a link, I posted the article already on Twitter, but this woman tells about her story in unbelievable detail in this Hollywood Reporter article. I mean, it literally reads like she's a screenwriter. It literally reads like a movie script. And she talks about how Russell Simmons sexually assaulted her and the predicament that she was put in. She's 50 now. She has a family. She built a life. She has kids. She writes about it. Her quotes are absolutely gut-wrenching because she knows that now, after revealing all of this, and then Russell Simmons released a statement based on this article and her allegations and her statement that he's stepping away from his business to take time to work on himself, to make himself a better human being. and to learn about his past transgressions. Are you fucking kidding me, dude? Read the article and the shit that supposedly he did to this woman, and it's disgusting. And it's the predatory power trip that these people are on, that you just like have a driver in a car and all of a sudden it's literally like a horror movie. You hear the doors lock, the windows lock, and you can't get the fuck out. And you don't know where you're going or what you, I'm guessing you have a pretty good idea of what's about to happen, but you don't know how the fuck to get away from it. And this woman had no idea how to get away from it. So she didn't get away from it. And she was sexually assaulted brutally and then put herself in a cab and went home and went about her life for the next 25 years. And now, because of all of these other brave women coming forward and sharing their stories, she also makes it very clear that she is in a position, both financially, emotionally, that she can tell the story and know that the repercussions from her telling the story and any damage that anyone will try to do to her in either defending Russell Simmons or looking to pull up shit about her that makes her look like one of these blame the victim type shits, that she's okay with that. And she knows that that's coming. And she's prepared for that, which is nuts. Because think about then all the people that aren't prepared for that and then why they don't come out for 20, 30, 40 years later. Because they can't risk their livelihood. They can't risk their family. They can't risk their kids. They can't all of that shit. But she knows she is in a position now. She's financially stable. She's married. She has a family. She has a support system. And now she's coming forward. And clearly, if Russell Simmons didn't think it was a big fucking deal, he wouldn't walk away from his business. But so it's nuts. And it's important because as a woman of color to set the example, because now how many other people, I mean, forget it. The music industry has got to be rife with shit like this. Yo, look at R. Kelly. How's this motherfucker still walking around? Dude kept girls like chained up in his apartment in Chicago. Want to make a record? Come check out the studio in my apartment. Yo, we just finished shooting your video. We got the edits put together. You know what? Let's not go. Why don't you just come back to my place and we'll go over the video? Are you? And most people would be like, okay. Read her article. Just read her article and her account of what went down and how it transpired. And I was like, oh my God. That's horrible. And she probably never would have said anything if it wasn't for the deluge of all of these women coming forward before her. And kicking that door in. But now what's going to happen? Now it's like, what happens now? And that's the conversation that's been happening all over the place. What are you not supposed to? You're never going to date someone you work with? You know, where you're never going to be able, I mean, no one's going to be able to look at anybody cross-eyed. Is something afraid that something's going to happen? All these people preemptively leaving their jobs out of fear that something is going to get exposed. It's nuts. And those bings you hear are my friend who I sent the link to the article to about Russell Simmons and Jenny Lumet. It's crazy. And it's crazy to think that these women have to live with that and fight still to have a career and a livelihood and a family and whatever type of normal life they can have, keeping that whatever this shit is buried within them because they have nobody else to tell. You know, you could tell a friend, you could tell family, but who, if Russell Simmons sexually assaults you and Uncle Rush created Def Jam Records and you're in the movie industry and he's in the music industry and your paths are inevitably going to cross. And she talks about that, having to see him at events and having to walk by and casually nod and acknowledge that he was there. She didn't avoid him by any means, and good for her. Because there are a lot of people that have been like, fuck out, I'm out, dude. I'm out. I'm not crossing his path. I'm not going anywhere. And it's sad. And it's sad, and hopefully that's going to change. And this is the shit that goes on before 7 o'clock in the morning. These are the conversations that we're having. Like, and I still now have to Google where the bomb shelters are, the fallout shelters in New York City are, because this idiot sitting in the White House could accidentally, like, he tweeted the wrong Theresa May because he's a fucking moron. He wanted to yell at Theresa May for her saying to him that what he did was not right. He tweets at some Theresa May with 6 followers and then deletes the tweet and then tweets at the right Theresa May. Well, dude, if you accidentally push the right nuclear codes and then realize you made a mistake, well, what the fuck are you going to do then? So here we are. And that all happens before 7 o'clock in the morning. And I wish I could play, I can't play the recording. I wish I could play the recording. And I wish I did a pretty good job summing up the 45 minute walk that we had this morning. Because the only thing that's missing is the sound of the crunching gravel, the dogs barking, Lincoln yelling at ISIS, who's a dog, not to eat the mud. But, you know, it's hopefully, yeah, I don't know. It looks like now the music industry is gonna be next. I mean, we know about it in sports. Unfortunately, in sports, it's more domestic violence. It's not so much sexual assault. Although Darren Sharper, one of the Pittsburgh Steelers, is going to prison for 20 years for rape. And I mean, he's not even playing anymore, but still. So it's just crazy. And this is the shit where we're at. So this is like a part 4 of the ongoing conversation of sexual assault and the insane, racist, white supremacist, hate-mongering that we're all subjected to on a daily fucking basis. It just, it's daily. And I think, and I actually appreciate the chance that I have at 6 o'clock in the morning to talk about all these things, vent these things, hear other positions and perspectives on these things, even though we all have a very similar perspective. And some of us, like some of these people, know specifically about behavior and people and things that have transpired and reputations in the industry of what went on. And some of us, like Lincoln, have extensive knowledge about history and politics on a national and global level. So the people that we talk to, because the professions run the gamut, the backgrounds, the diversity, it's really an amazing group of people. And we've all become comfortable enough with each other that we can talk about these things and we can, you know, we can have our debates and we can have our agreements, our disagreements, we could voice our opinion, and we're comfortable enough to talk about all these fucked up things, because really you can't talk about it in a vacuum. You can't sit on your couch and go down these rabbit holes and get sucked into all of this on TV and not think that it's going to have some impact. I mean, look at the impact it's having on people in Alabama. We're on the cusp of having a sexual predator, child molesting, banned from the mall, creeping pervert end up in the Senate, who then best go through the fucking motions to expel his ass. But then you have to say, if him, then why not Trump? So Mueller just better hurry the fuck up. And I'm still one of the few people on the Hill who's optimistic enough to think that Trump is not going to last the 4 fucking years and this is going to be over sooner, hopefully, rather than later, even though I know it takes time. We're all fucking impatient. I'm like, can we do this tomorrow already, please, before we all die? Because this is now getting, like, beyond the scope of, like, serious. This is now global world war politics. And I think I'm going to go, like, watch Red Dawn or something, because we were like, what movies can we watch to, what do? Where do you go? I don't know. It's nuts. It's nutty. It's scary. It's sad. It's pathetic. The United States is a laughing stock, and people are looking at us all over the world like, what the fuck is going on over here? And we can't answer because we don't fucking know. There is a deranged, delusional madman sitting in the White House who just rage tweets propaganda and hate speech. And why Twitter doesn't shut his fucking account down, I don't know why. After you tweet those videos, I'm pretty sure somewhere in the terms of service, retweeting propaganda videos from Al-Qaeda could pretty much get you kicked off fucking Twitter. I mean, it kicks other people off. Roger Stone was kicked off. All these other Nazis that get kicked off and these white supremacists. But Donald Trump, fuck that special treatment. He's held to the same standard. You need, on some level, somewhere, you need to be held to the same standards as everybody else. You don't get to tweet all that hate-mongering shit just because you are the fake president of the United States because Russia put your ass there. So Robert Mueller, hurry up. That's all I have to say. I don't know. It's a lot. It's a lot. We're going to be talking about it for a while. Matt Lauer's bullshit apology. Go fuck yourself. Ann Curry, enjoy your cup of tea. You deserve it. He's disgusting. And he's just pissed and he's sorry he got caught. Because look, he wouldn't be apologizing and he wouldn't be contrite. And if he didn't get caught, he'd still be hosting the show. It would still be business as usual. So his apology is so fucking insincere, you can save it. Just like Louis C.K.'s apology was insincere and even talked about his dick more than he talked about being sorry, because I don't even think Louis C.K. used the word sorry in his little paragraph of an apology. It was more of a statement, and it was a statement in air quotes about his dick. At least Matt Lauer even said something to the effect of, "I can't believe all of the allegations are completely true." Listen, you're either completely sorry or you're not. You can't be half sorry. You're fully sorry that your ass got caught. That's what you're sorry about. So nah, brah, sorry. Your sorry is sorry. And it's unbelievable. Don't make a statement. Just shut the fuck up and sit down. Save your statement because it's pathetic. And if you can't really be sorry, like Al Franken stood up in front of microphones, whether you think he should resign from the Senate or not. And here we go again. I should have ended, but I can't. Because if you have to at least acknowledge the fact that he stood up in front of the press and gave a heartfelt apology that sounded completely contrite. He sounded completely shameful, embarrassed, and sorry. And don't give me this bullshit, he's an actor for a living crap. He was a stand-up comic. And I'm not saying that stand-up comics can't act. Don't come at me with that shit. I'm just saying that he wasn't, you know, preparing for some, you know, Oscar-nominated film role. He stood up there in front of everybody. Nobody else has come in front of the microphone. Roy Moore hasn't had a press conference and stood up in front of the microphone and took questions from the press. He ran away and hid. Donald Trump is now saying that his voice on the Access Hollywood tape is fake. And he never said those things, even though he apologized on television and acknowledged that he said those things and he was sorry that he said them. So he's clearly not sorry that he said them. And he's bringing back, I mean, should we talk about the fact that he's bringing back the birther issue? He never really let that go either. He said what he had to say at the time. He's a true con man. He will say what he needs to say at the time to get people to believe him. And then he'll be like, "You dumb motherfuckers." Now he's bringing back the birther issue. Because why? He never really believed his statement about Obama being born in the United States anyway. So now that he like went full Klan after like tweeting these racist anti-Muslim videos, he just threw the fucking sheet off. He's not even hiding under the sheet anymore. He could have just stood out there. He should have just got a fucking tiki torch and came to the press briefing and stood, or went to the Oval Office and stood there in front of his little Andrew Jackson photo and said, "Bullshit. I said what I said on that Access Hollywood tape. I still believe that Barack Obama was born in Kenya. Fuck you all. I won. I con the fuck out of you. Oh, by the way, are the coal mines open yet? No, I didn't think so. They'll never be reopened. And that tax reform bill? Oh, by the way, fuck the middle class. Fuck the working class. This is all for my rich buddies because they're the ones that have all the stocks and they're the ones that have all the money and they're the ones that need the tax breaks. So fuck you all." At least, you know what? If you just come the fuck clean. Donald Trump is the one that said on an Access Hollywood tape that he moves on women like a bitch and he grabs them by the pussy, and you, when you're a star, you can do anything. And you know, sadly, with all of the events that have transpired over the last month, That is an actual factual statement. When you are a star, you can do anything. And the rules will bend around you. Fuck everybody else. Everybody else is expendable. And that's how it is. But hopefully not anymore. So there's a lot of lessons to be learned. A lot. Hopefully Alabama will learn them. I mean, this vote is insane. Like, there's not enough popcorn on the planet when this vote goes down. And they're, God, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But it's got to, I mean, something positive has to come from all of this negativity at some point. Because we can't go on like this. I mean, we can't let this one idiot bring us as a nation all the way down. And there is no bottom with this guy. There is no bottom. All the way down where? It just keeps getting lower and lower and lower and lower with him. And to anyone that stands around him, his entire staff, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, who's going to sit there and say, it doesn't matter if the videos were fake, the threat is real. Well, I'm going to bet if somebody showed you a video of like your kid's school on fire, you're going to give a fuck if that video is real or not. The fuck? Is it brainwashing? Or is Sarah Huckabee Sanders just dumb as a fucking brick? I don't know. Mueller better hurry up. This is the last time I'm going to say it. I believe in Mueller time. I'm waiting. The whole lot of them has to go down. And I don't know who to replace them with, so I don't have the answer. So don't tell me if they go, then who. All I know is you got to go. You can't be a racist, white supremacist, Nazi, sexual predator, hate-mongering asshole and be in the highest position in the world and in the country. And all your little underlings, too, that are supporting you and silently complicit around you and laugh and giggle and joke when they're in the room with you have to go the fuck, too. Bye. That's the end of that. All right, so that was our dog walk. I mean, that's what you're more than welcome to join us anytime, 6 o'clock, the Great Hill in Central Park. Bring a dog. Don't bring a dog. Bring dog treats if you don't bring a dog. And come and kick it with us. Until then, you can find Lincoln Mitchell on his website, lincolnmitchell.com. You can follow him in the Twitterverse, at Lincoln Mitchell. You can subscribe to this podcast for free, because why wouldn't you want to? It's on iTunes and Stitcher. And every once in a while, I throw it up on SoundCloud. And you can follow me in the Twitterverse, at Doodleheads, D-O-O-D-L-E-H-E-D-Z. And I'm going to go have another cup of coffee and maybe throw some wine in it, because it's only 11 o'clock in the morning. And is it Friday yet? All right. Thanks for listening. As always, we'll be back with another podcast sooner rather than later.